looking to find true balance in this time of chaos and change, wishing you could keep the faith, longing to forge ahead beyond the shadows into a brave new light? Buckle up and lean in for an hour of questions, answers, and practical magic. Welcome to Living on a Prayer. Now here's your host, Michelle Morgan.
Welcome to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. And yes, Barb, the theme for today is boundaries. I can't wait to hear the rest of the songs that you've chosen. You brilliant little thing, you. Hope everybody had a really good week. So last week, I have to explain, we're supposed to do boundaries last week. Well, here's why I was not in the studio. Last Sunday night, we had a power outage at my house, and I'm not kidding you. It was a beautiful, clear night, no wind, nothing at all out of the ordinary, and
boom, boom, right here.
Boom, boom, out go the lights. Yeah, it was bizarre. So I spend anywhere from 3 to 7 hours on Sundays working on the notes for the show. And so I had no power, no computer, so no way to finish the notes. So that's why I was not here. It was a very, very odd occurrence. But for whatever reason, we're supposed to do boundaries today. So that's the theme. I want to hear from you. What's your experience with boundaries or the lack thereof? You can call me, 877-230-3062. Again, that number, 877-230-3062. And as usual, I have a ton to say about that subject. So, first of all, little shout out to my darling daughter. Guess what I was doing, Barb, 24 years ago at this very moment? Oh. I was in the early stages of labor. My daughter, Kaylee, is 24 today. Happy birthday, honey girl. I love you, and I'm insanely proud of you. You are just like the coolest. So anyway, glad you're in my world, girl. What I was going to say last week, if I'd have been here, last weekend I was working out in my garden, finally got a chance to get out there. And we have a couple of hydrangeas in our backyard, and this one hydrangea has all these new green shoots coming at the very base, but all the branches looked totally dead. I mean, we're talking seriously dead. Dried brown wood, old leaves, these like skeletal flowers just hanging off of it. Of course, I didn't deadhead last year. And so I figured, okay, I'm going to whack off, you know, this old growth here so that make room for the new. And I start trimming and I see this green, this bright green at the center of the brown in those branches. And what I thought were these old husks of leaves were actually these protective skins over this new tender shoots on every branch. It was incredible. It's amazing how something can look so lifeless and be literally full of movement and unseen growth. And that was such a message for me that day from God. And I really wanted to pass that one along to everybody. I know that so many of you are struggling right now. You've been working so hard at keeping the faith and doing your spiritual work, praying, taking right action, et cetera, et cetera. Nothing's different, or in fact, it might even seem a little darker these days. Certainly, a lot of things seem darker right now. And I say to you, hang in there. With God in the equation, you're guaranteed that things in your life are moving in the right direction. Catherine Ponder always says, the longer your good is in coming, the greater it will be when it comes. So hold on. And I just really felt compelled to send that message out there today. Great affirmation from Florence Scovel Shinn. It is dark before the dawn, but the dawn never fails. I trust in the dawn. And then one of my absolute favorite ones from Ms. Ponder, divine activity is now operating in my mind, body, and affairs, whether I see it or not. I love that one. So hang in there, everybody. Keep the faith. It's going to pay off, I promise. So let's see if Dr. Doolittle's in the house, shall we?
I can walk with the animals, talk with the animals, grunt and squeak and squawk with the animals. And they can squeak and squawk and speak and talk to me.
Well, we've broken our bird streak, kids. It's a four-legged, not a winged today. And I'd be pretty much willing to bet you this animal was not in that vocal menagerie that we just heard a moment ago. It's the ferret. The ferret has shown up today. Ferret says, don't hesitate to take advantage of any opportunities that show up for you. Wink, wink. Barbara. Stock up on any provisions you might need in the near future. Costco, here I come. Have a playful attitude, be lighthearted, and take everything with a grain of salt. Sit in silence and stillness, simply observing, and you'll discover what's secret or hidden around you that others don't see. And finally, pay particularly close attention to your instincts at this time, as they'll give you clues about what to do or what not to do. All righty. Can't wait to see how the ferret shows up for y'all this week. Speaking of, would love for you to get onto my Facebook fan page. Go to michellemorgan.org, Michelle with one L, Morgan.org. Click on the Facebook icon in the links box on the right side of any page, and you can join the Facebook family. And I would love to have you on there because I love to hear from people in between shows. It's so much fun. Really want to say howdy to my 106.9 HD3 listeners in Seattle. And if there's a topic you would like me to cover on this show, send me an email or, again, get on Facebook and shoot me a message. Today's show, Boundaries, is listener-inspired. And I love getting that kind of input because it just is fun for me to talk about things you guys want to hear about. So we are going to take a little break. When we come back, we are diving into this very important subject of boundaries. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Don't go away.
With your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Got a question for Michelle? Give us a call here at 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062.
Action is made.
Hey everyone, this is Michelle Morgan, host of Living on a Prayer, Mondays at noon Pacific here on Contact Talk Radio. You've heard me talk over and over again about belief systems, how they determine and control everything we create in our lives. Well, if you're finally ready to break your old limiting patterns so you can have the life that you really want, consider CSI. I developed the CSI program to change you at the deepest levels by finding the foundation of your patterns and creating permanent change where it will count the most.
With CSI, you no longer have to try and do things differently in your life. You'll be different, and everything else will follow. Same old, or new, true you. You decide. Go to michellemorgan.org to find out more about the CSI program. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org. This is Michelle Morgan, and we are talking about boundaries today. Got some people on the phone lines. We'll be getting to y'all a little bit later. I got to dive in. There's a lot to talk about here. So, per Google, there are 3,750,000 listings for personal boundaries. I did. I Googled personal boundaries. 3,750,000 to choose from. So I perused a few of them, obviously did not look at all 3 million, but found a quote from a site called essentiallifeskills.net, and this is what they have to say. Personal boundaries are the physical, emotional, and mental limits we establish to protect ourselves from being manipulated, used, or violated by others. They allow us to separate who we are and what we think and feel from the thoughts and feelings of others. Boundaries help us express ourselves as the unique individuals we are while we acknowledge the same in others. To set personal boundaries means to preserve your integrity, take responsibility for who you are, and to take control of your life. Learning to set healthy personal boundaries is necessary for maintaining a positive self-image. It is our way of communicating to others that we have self-respect, self-worth, and will not allow others to define us. So again, obviously I didn't look at all the other 3,749,000 listings, but I can say with confidence that the vast majority of discussions about personal boundaries approach them as something you have to create. You quote unquote set them through your words and actions. They're essentially structural in nature, something outside of you that you are responsible for building and maintaining. I want to be very clear that I'm not suggesting that that definition is incorrect. It's just, as always, that I want to look at the challenges that are inherent in that definition and offer another angle that addresses those challenges, because this particular issue of personal boundaries is one of many self-help topics out there that set people up for failure. First of all, the modern approach to setting boundaries automatically puts you in defense mode because it's a defensive, protective maneuver. It's a reactive maneuver. So there's an immediate and inescapable energy of fight or challenge that's attached to even the most benign of boundary setting. And if you start out with an energy of challenge, you're far more likely to keep being challenged. You know that saying, what you fight to get, you fight to keep. All right. Not remotely suggesting you shouldn't stand up for yourself. But let's look at the reasons that you would have to set boundaries in the first place. We have to talk about belief systems here. Absolutely have to. Here's a little review. Belief systems are the laws we live by. They're programmed ideas that are handed down through cultural and familial influences and rooted emotionally in the psyche and physiologically in the neural pathways of the brain. And those suckers are rooted between birth and 7 years of age, so they come on pretty early as an idea of the world. Belief systems are how you see the world. Identity issues are how you see yourself in the world, all right? So there's that added little personal kick to it. And then, of course, you got the parts. We've talked about this last week, or not last week, the week prior. The last time I was here live, anyway, we talked about parts. The subpersonalities of the human psyche, and their job is to keep the belief systems operating at optimum capacity. So essentially, your belief systems will set you up to create a reality in which you have to set up boundaries. And I'm doing a lot of air quoting there, by the way, when I say set up, because again, it's this idea that you have to create this thing outside of you. So when we talk about setting boundaries, we're generally talking about situations that are continuous or ongoing in nature. And they usually involve relationships of some importance in your life, such as family, friends, coworkers, etc. Now, there are some people whose beliefs are such that even in one-time encounters with strangers, their boundaries get crossed. But for the sake of simplicity, I want to address this issue from the standpoint of the habitual experience. So I want to go back to that quote from EssentialLifeSkills.net. Learning to set healthy personal boundaries is necessary for maintaining a positive self-image. It is our way of communicating to others that we have self-respect, self-worth, and will not allow others to define us. Modern therapies emphasize communication as the tool of choice in creating boundaries. It's all about speaking openly and honestly about how you feel, learning to say no, identifying actions and behaviors in others that are unacceptable, and then basically calling them out for it. These are very important, healthy steps in taking care of yourself. They are. I mean, here's the truth. Even the most kind-hearted person can potentially take advantage of you if you don't make clear your limits, right? Because how's that person supposed to know? How's, you know, your friend supposed to know that you can't babysit her children every single Saturday if you don't let her know you can't do that, but you just keep doing it? She's going to take advantage because you didn't make it clear. But we need to look deeper at the different scenarios that require boundaries in order to understand the problems inherent in that current therapeutic model of communicative setting. Being in repeated situations of blatantly obvious violation, overt or violent sexual, physical, or emotional abuse, that type of situation is a pattern based on belief systems and childhood experience. That translates to deeply ingrained ideas of self. And those ideas will not only flat out prevent you from being able to learn to speak openly and honestly or to say no, but even more importantly, they'll stop you from even being able to identify unacceptable actions and behaviors in others, because that reality of abuse would seem quote unquote normal to you and therefore acceptable because it's what you're used to. It makes sense to the definition you have of your world and of yourself in it. And this is why that pattern that is so stereotypical, if you will, of an abused woman, let's say. She was smacked around by her dad, so she goes out in the world and she repeatedly gets into relationships with violent men. And those of us on the outside look at that and go, you know, why can't she just leave? Why doesn't she just punch this guy out and leave? Well, it's because her belief systems set her up to believe that that is literally a normal expression of life, that that's how relationship is, that's what she deserves, that's how love is expressed. There's all sorts of ways that those belief systems will tie into her brain, making her incapable of standing up because she doesn't even realize that she needs to stand up. Even though she feels horrible about herself, she's terrified, she's miserable, all of those obvious drives towards something better, the belief systems will negate those instinctual drives every time. Then there are the situations that may seem on the surface more benign than that extreme example, but can take a similar toll on the psyche. Situations like self-sacrifice, caretaking, perfectionism, etc. If you're a chronic giver, and y'all know who I'm talking to, if you're a chronic giver, we're again talking about a pattern and an ingrained belief about yourself. You won't even realize where the problem lies because it's how you were programmed to show up in the world. And if you do figure out the problem, the beliefs that created the problem originally will prevent you from being able to show up any differently than that. You'll be relegated to being the sacrificial lamb or the caregiver. But let's say you do learn how to set some boundaries by communicating your feelings. Here's the challenges with that. If you're in a current situation of abuse, manipulation, or where you're being disrespected or mistreated in some way, you are dealing with obviously incredibly unconscious people. And if you try to, quote unquote, set boundaries with someone that unconscious, and then you expect that they'll honor those boundaries, you're setting yourself up for not only failure, but further manipulation. Here's why. First, if the person was conscious enough to be able to honor your boundaries, you probably wouldn't have to be setting those boundaries in the first place, because they wouldn't have the behaviors that would make you need to set boundaries. And second, unconscious people who are abusive or manipulative instinctively seek the weak spot in others. So if you're setting boundaries by calling some unconscious person on their troublesome behaviors, in effect, you've just given them even more clarity on how to push your buttons. Here's another challenge. If you do manage to learn how to speak up for yourself in that toxic situation, it'll be a temporary fix, because those belief systems, okay, they'll cause you to recreate the same type of situation elsewhere. I see this all the time with clients. They'll finally speak up to the parent or the partner that's disrespecting them, only to turn around and get a job with the exact same kind of manipulative person as their boss. Or, as we talked about in that earlier example, they'll leave one abusive relationship for another with someone who has the exact same behaviors, but with just a slightly different outward expression of those behaviors. Are we feeling hopeless out there yet? Does this mean you're powerless to do anything in these situations? Absolutely not. Not remotely. Hang in there with me. We're going to get to the solution here in a little bit. Another key factor in this issue of boundaries is more subtle boundaries that we oftentimes feel compelled to set can actually be moving targets that we, in fact, will cross shortly after we set them, because your need for those boundaries can change according to your perception in response to the other person's behavior. For instance, one day you might be perfectly fine with taking on your office mate's extra workload when they ask. On a different day, literally depending on your mood, your energy level, or other stresses, it might feel like a massive boundary violation. Or, this is a really perfect example, when you first begin dating somebody, you might have this very, I hear this all the time from women, and this is a polarity thing too, and I will not add that to the information I'm trying to talk about today, but suffice it to say, polarity is involved in this one. First begin dating somebody, you have this very specific parameter. How often you want to see them, how many phone calls a week, etc., right? You know this one, okay? Well, as you become more interested or less interested in that person, that line is going to move accordingly. That boundary is going to move accordingly. So the boundary thing, if it's gone after from this intellectual perspective, from this communicative, I must say, this is my truth and this is what it has to look like, that is all well and good, unless you've got belief systems involved and you're not clear about your own reasons and motives for setting those boundaries. We are going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to go to the phone lines, and I promise you, we are going to talk about the answer or the solution to what at this moment might seem like a really challenging issue. It's not. It's actually very clear what has to happen, and we're going to talk about that shortly. So hang in there with me, y'all. This is Michelle Morgan. You're listening to Living on a Prayer. Come on back. Give you all the strength. Hey everyone, this is Michelle Morgan, host of Living on a Prayer, Mondays at noon Pacific here on Contact Talk Radio.
You've heard me talk over and over again about belief systems, how they determine and control everything we create in our lives. Well, if you're finally ready to break your old limiting patterns so you can have the life that you really want, consider CSI. I developed the CSI program to change you at the deepest levels by finding the foundation of your patterns and creating permanent change where it will count the most. With CSI, you no longer have to try and do things differently in your life. You'll be different, and everything else will follow. Same old, or new, true you. You decide. Go to michellemorgan.org to find out more about the CSI program. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Satisfied with your current spiritual connection? Think you're failing on your spiritual path? Tired of the secret remaining just that? Join visionary NLP practitioner, author, and spiritual innovator Michelle Morgan for an intense four-part workshop series designed to open your mind and heart to the ultimate love affair between you and God. Go to www.michellemorgan.org for more information. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.
Welcome back. Living on a Prayer. This is Michelle Morgan. Barb, you're so much fun. How that girl finds these songs, I do not know. And it will remain a delightful mystery. So we're talking about boundaries today, and we're going to go to the phone lines here in a minute. Just want to reiterate something. I am absolutely not in any way, shape, or form suggesting that you should not speak openly and honestly about how you feel, that you should not learn to say no, and that you should not identify actions and behaviors in others that are unacceptable and potentially call them on it. Hopefully I am making my point today, and it will be even clearer by the end of the show, I promise. There has to be other aspects involved in that dynamic of setting boundaries for you to have a successful experience and for you to ultimately change your experience in the world so that you don't have to continuously set boundaries. That's the other thing about the whole boundary setting thing. And I know that there's many of you that can relate to this. You finally figure it out. You finally muster up the courage. You learn how, you know, you even sometimes write down what you need to say to the other person, and you get all prepared and you do it. You have that big confrontation and you draw your line in the sand. And then 2 hours later or 2 days later or 2 weeks later, you have to do it again. And then you have to do it again and you have to do it again. And it's worse than, you know, parenting a toddler that you have to repeat yourself to. And that goes back to what I was saying earlier. When you've got a situation where there's serious boundaries that have to be drawn, you're dealing with seriously unconscious people, and they're not going to be able to get it. So there's a key factor in that. And I know y'all know what I'm going to talk about. You know where I'm going to go with this, don't you? Because where do we go every show? What's the point of all of this? What's the point of this show? God. And we're going to talk about how that plays in here to the boundary thing. We're going to go to the phone lines. We've got Amla on the phone. Are you
there? Hi, how are you?
Hi, sweetheart. Thank you for inspiring this show with your topic
idea.
Oh,
thank you. It's affecting me a lot in the last 3 months, I would say. So talking about repeating it over and over and over again, each challenge is worse.
Oh, interesting. Is it, and tell me a little bit about that. I mean, are you having to set boundaries with the same people?
The funny thing is that talking about belief systems, starting from the beginning, I thought boundaries, my definition of boundaries, was a protection thing and putting up a wall.
Right.
So I decided for myself, I didn't believe in boundaries. Mm-hmm. I thought that if we're divine light, this is just, that was in my head, if we're divine light, why do we need to set up boundaries
right.
in the first place?
Right.
If each person on this planet is divine light.
Right.
So, but then little, you know, through experience, me last year, December, I had to let go of a lot of friends that just, they weren't following through. It felt very disrespectful to me.
Right.
They just weren't following through. The time, they didn't care about my time. You know, if I had to meet them somewhere, they'd be late or cancel on me. Mm. And this is several people in my life from 3 months ago. So then it just kept on irritating me and the whole shadow effect. And I was like, what is going on? The whole thing. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, I understand now. It's boundaries for me is about accepting myself and being respectful to myself by setting boundaries up.
Right.
And where I stand matters. I just think I was letting people do whatever they wanted to do.
You bet.
And I just wasn't. I was letting them squash me.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Absolutely. And it's, I love what you said about, there's a couple of things that you said that are really important to what we're talking about. That whole idea of building a wall. Unfortunately, that is exactly what the therapeutic modality engenders, is this idea of that. That's why I said at the beginning, it creates this automatic challenge and fight energy. You're creating this defensive, you know, separation between you and other people. And again, I'm going to repeat myself. All that's going to do to someone who's super unconscious is they're going to come after you harder because that's, you know, to them, that's the challenge. Right. So, and then it automatically separates you, and you're right. We are all divine light, but here's the challenge inherent in that. And I'm going to use some terminology here. Hopefully I'm not going to sound judgmental, but in that new age metaphysical, idea that we're all divine light. We are.
Yes.
I'm not suggesting we're not, but the problem with going at the world from this perspective of I'm divine light, everybody else is divine light, and that's all that matters, you can have a tendency to not take into consideration the human experience, and there has to be this balance.
Yes.
And so this is where I get on my high horse, flaming soapbox, pick your analogy, every time about having an intimate relationship with God. We are divine light. We are God incarnate. Is that fair?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. And God is also outside of us. God is also separate from us. He's this great, big, fabulous, loving energy that at the end of the day, we can just throw our hands in the air and go say, oh, for crying out loud, just take this from me. I don't want to have to deal with it anymore.
Right.
Because the human psyche is not wired to handle the ultimate responsibility and autonomy of being divine light. We can absolutely walk in the world expressing divine light, but walking in the world thinking that we are it. Do you know what I'm saying? That we are God.
Yeah.
There's going to come a point when the human aspect of us is going to have a meltdown over that. Absolute meltdown. And so we have to have that champion. That's why my philosophy is to approach God from that polarity standpoint. God as masculine is the protector, the provider. You, because you're a feminine core being, Amla, you get to be the goddess. You get to walk in the world as her and express that feminine idea of God, but you get to turn this stuff over to the masculine God who can protect you and provide for you. And that's, you know, that is so critical in this idea of setting boundaries. I'm going to talk a little bit more about that here in a minute. So I'm curious to know, in your experience with these friends, how far back would you say that pattern goes? Meaning the pattern of people taking advantage of you, people sort of ignoring you, or you being, you know, your needs being put way on the back burner. How far back do you recall that pattern?
I think it's definitely now that, because I'm more mindful and conscious of it, it definitely started from my nuclear family.
Sure. You bet. Well, yeah. give me an example. And we're not blaming anybody here. I'm curious about it.
The last few years, it's about, you know, the first step was speaking my truth. And I always felt like I wasn't being heard.
Right.
Like I would say something in my family, like, I don't know, to my sister. And it would be, it felt this way. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think she meant her intention was that way, but it felt like she was disregarding me or my feelings. I think feelings were just never talked about, you know, and in a lot of families, it's that way. But speaking of my own experience, yeah, it just kind of felt, I wasn't good enough in the sense of if I speak my truth, then it's like you're shamed for it. And you're like, mm-hmm. No, you shouldn't feel that way. My sister and I do that all the time. It's like, I'm feeling something. This happened in the last few months. And, you know, I'm feeling something and it's emotional or whatever. And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And she's like, well, you shouldn't feel that way. I'm like, you can't tell me how to feel.
Isn't that an outrageous statement? And people throw that out there all the time. You shouldn't feel that. You shouldn't feel that way. Why? Why shouldn't I feel what I'm feeling?
Exactly.
And it's interesting. You just said something really key, really, really key to your pattern. You said that feelings were not talked about in your family. I guarantee you, kiddo, from the time you were old enough to understand you had feelings, we're talking toddler age or younger, the feelings were not allowed to be expressed. And as a feminine core being, that cuts you right to the soul of who you are.
Right.
That's the ultimate disrespect. That's the ultimate dis. And our culture ultimately disrespects the feminine because there is this collective feminist mindset. I'm apologizing if I ruffle anybody's feathers unduly here, but there's a mindset that says emotions are weak. Emotions are a weakness. They should not be seen. They should not be talked about. You should just get over it.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Snap out of it. Right.
Yes.
So that is the death of the feminine. It's the death of the feminine in our culture. And so what ends up happening is you grow up in that environment. And again, we're not blaming anybody. We're not judging anybody. We're not saying, oh my gosh, they should have known better. They did what they did because of their patterns. Patterns in a family are a legacy. They go back generations beyond your nuclear family of origin. And so that pattern gets established and then you will, this is the treasure in the darkness. Okay. Is to recognize how powerful you are, that you would walk out in the world as a young adult, and you would automatically attract like a tractor beam. You would automatically draw across the planet people who would totally disrespect you and ignore your feelings. Okay.
Yeah.
I do not believe that that's a coincidence. I'm live.
No, I don't believe so either.
But isn't that amazing? I mean,
it is amazing.
Take a step back from that and pat yourself on the back and go, wow, I rock the Casbah. Look at how many people I attracted into my life that totally fit my belief system.
Yeah.
So that's how then you got to change the belief system. And, you know, huge applause to you for coming to that place where you recognized that it wasn't just about, you know, putting your hands on your hips and saying, stop treating me this way, you're being mean. It's about you going, wait a second here. My feelings are valid and they deserve to be seen in the world and they deserve to be respected.
Right.
You know, and that's the number one beginning place.
Yeah.
And then the key factor is you got to heal those belief systems and you got to get God involved in there. And then you will be guided into a whole different realm of experience with people so that you won't continuously have to draw your boundaries.
I think, you know, you and I spoke about this about a year ago. It was when I was in a fearful place and in my life. And you said, you know, just keep on going. You know, of course, fear is a big barrier in a lot of people's lives, including mine, of course. And people are going to say what they're going to say.
Yeah.
And now here a year later, I'm like, I just don't care. I don't need to validate myself anymore. This is ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Good.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, it is ridiculous.
That's how I feel. I'm not like the whole world should be doing this. It's just, you know, where I am now.
Yeah.
And, you know, taking the step-by-step process of it. And the first process of boundaries for me was to speak my truth, which was a couple years of speaking my truth over and over and over again. I became a little bit more confident in that, so to speak. And then, you know, the boundary subject came up. So,
you bet.
You know,
no, that's
still going through it. We all go through something, you know,
I hope everybody's keeps growing. You know, that's all it is it's the growth process.
Yeah, absolutely.
So,
absolutely.
No, and that's,
but I do feel the feminine core
good
being in me, what you're talking about, divine feminine and the divine masculine. Balance.
Yes.
And I just want to add, I was so thankful yesterday. It just, it's all coming together. And it's like I wanted to cry and jump up and down at the same time. It was, nothing even happened. It was just, I feel the balance that you talk about all the time. And, it's amazing. It really is an amazing feeling.
Well, I am very, very proud of you, darling girl. And I love your input into the show. And thanks again for this topic. It's just been great. So, and really glad you called in.
Thank you so much. And have a blessed day.
Thanks, sweetheart. You too.
Okay.
I'm telling you something. This boundary thing's powerful. And got an email from a listener who couldn't call in today. And she wanted to know about energetic boundaries in the realm of personal boundaries. She says, I would like to know what we, the sensitive ones, can do to protect ourselves in the presence of people that are angry and addicted to daily explosions. I love this line. She says, how do you deal with these folks that are walking nuclear waste, spreading radiation in all directions? Wow. Yeah. That's a pretty powerful statement. So here's the answer. The answer to energetic boundaries is the same as for personal boundaries. And what is the answer? You ready? Drum roll. You've been waiting the whole show, haven't you? Probably turned the sound down and was watching infomercials for a while till I got to the good stuff. Here's the good stuff. True boundaries come from being in your core. If you are operating from your truest nature, you won't even be on the radar screen of people or situations where your boundaries are being violated. Maybe tiny little ones like somebody steps on your foot in the subway, but I am talking the habitual things we've been discussing this entire hour. You literally won't be on the radar screen of those situations anymore. Going back one more time to that essential life skills net quote, it is our way of communicating to others that we have self-respect, self-worth, and will not allow others to define us. Bottom line is, if you know who you are, if you're coming from your core, you're showing up in the world from that authentic place, then standing up for yourself is automatic. You don't have to think about it. In the event that something goes against your value system or your integrity, you will automatically have the right words, the right actions, etc. And I'm not kidding you. It will literally be instinctual. Making the choice to take action to remove yourself from a situation or relationship becomes far less scary because it, again, comes from that instinctual place rather than the intellectual place. Remember, we've talked in a number of shows about the difference between instinctual fear, that fight or flight, versus reasoning or intellectual fear. Instinctual fear keeps you in the present moment. All right. It says, here's the danger. Now, trust your gut, take the action. Okay. Reasoning or intellectual fear is all about, oh my gosh, remember what happened the last time I drew my boundaries? Oh my gosh, what if I say such and such to so and so, and then they're even worse to me, blah, blah, blah. And then you're just, you know, completely twisted up. So if you're solid in yourself, if you're coming from your core, you're going to be less reactive to people around you because you won't have a sense of them taking over or of you disappearing into their stuff. And this is especially true for the energetic garbage. Operating from your core gives you automatic discernment about what is yours and what belongs to others. So you're less likely to take it on because you recognize it's not yours and so you don't buy into it. One of the challenges of being sensitive, and boy, howdy, talking from big time experience on this. I can walk into a crowd of people and immediately pick up on 20 different people's stuff. But coming from my true core nature with God as my anchor makes it very easy for me to immediately identify, okay, wait a second here. This doesn't belong to me. This is somebody else's vibration I'm picking up on. This is somebody else's mood I'm picking up on. Doesn't mean I don't feel it. Doesn't mean it doesn't make me temporarily uncomfortable, but I can absolutely separate out from it. I think the worst part of being sensitive, the absolute worst part of being sensitive energetically, is when you start questioning why you're feeling what you're feeling, because then it just makes it worse, right? You're picking up on somebody else's fear, then you get afraid because you think it's yours. And then, of course, your human brain has to make meaning out of it. So then all of a sudden you're tripping in your head going, oh my gosh, why am I so afraid? Oh, that's right. It's because this thing happened yesterday, or maybe tomorrow something else is going to happen. And we just completely get ourselves sideways. All right. So how do you get to your authentic core? How do you know who you are? You get help. Honestly, no such thing as self-help on this one. No such thing. You have to heal the belief systems that put you in abusive or compromising situations, the belief systems that prevent you from walking in the world from that authentic place. We have shows in the archive on this about core. We have a show on January 25th, February 1st, and 8th of last year. We have shows about belief systems, parts, etc. on March 15th, 22nd, 29th, April 5th, and 19th of last year. Okay, so get on the archives, listen to this stuff, get some help to heal those belief systems. I cannot emphasize this more. You cannot do that by yourself. If we could change our belief systems on our own, no one would have any problems. I'm not kidding. And then the ultimate key is God. Being in relationship with God gives you the knowledge and even better, the feeling of being truly safe, feeling protected and feeling guided to your highest good at all times. All right. We have lots of shows in the archives that address relationship with God. Specific ones are February 25th of and August 9th of last year, January 17th of this year. We did a show on God. The other thing about having that intimate relationship with God is you can turn over any problem involving boundaries, get clarity, you know, whether it's needing to be freed from an external situation or needing to release energy from people around you or from that global consciousness. You can turn it over, asking God for absolute clarity on how to handle a situation, asking to be released, affirming that you are released from unhealthy situations, that God releases you from resentment or attachment to situations. That's the answer, y'all. It is the answer. So who are you going to call when you got a boundary issue? Well, there you go. And then there's another element here that I'm going to touch on today because I am going to do an entire show on this subject in the not very distant future. But it is the aspect of divine love. The idea of divine love, operating from a place of divine love, creates automatic space around you because it puts you in line with God and protection is guaranteed when you're in line with God. Divine love also creates an energy of lifting you above the human condition into a state of grace. All right. Divine love is an experience of loving just for the sake of the gift. All right. Because everyone is a child of God. And you have the ability to love without attachment if you come from that more global place. You got to really work at this one, let me tell you. Okay, it's a mindset as well as a practice. And it's about choosing to express God in energetic and emotional form. First of all, this takes the pressure way off because in effect, it's not you. It's God moving through you. It's not your love you're expressing. It's God's love you're expressing. And it's freakishly un-New Agey, actually. It's not this fakey, everybody's just wonderful kind of energy, okay? It's truly asking God to act through you. And then you allow yourself to present that greater, more global love to others. Wait for it.
without expectation. That's the challenge. Without expectation. But here's what I love about the idea of divine love. When I practice divine love, and I practice it a lot, and I mean it when I say the word practice, it really does require some work. But it first of all, it's an actual physical sensation of being removed from a challenge, or being removed from that attachment, that desperate feeling of wanting to make something happen, or wanting somebody to respond a certain way, or wanting a situation to look a certain way. When you go into that energy of divine love, it literally releases that sense of attachment. So first of all, it just calms you down big time, gives you a sense of space, gives you a sense of things relaxing kind of around you. Here's a way to think in terms of working polaritudinally with divine love. For the feminine, she gets to think about being the muse, that inspiration. She gets to think about being the nurturer and the feeler. We just talked about that, how feminine feelings are such an extraordinarily powerful thing. The masculine, you think hero, think protector, provider, but on a global scale. So let's say you're in partnership with somebody and they're really, you know, having a hard time, and you're having a hard time with them, and there's a lot of conflict between you. It's going to be really hard to love that person in that moment, because you're human and you're just going to be caught up in the conflict. But divine love is this idea, this understanding that God can move through you. Okay? God can love that person through you if you can't. And then it's a physical sensation of opening your heart and allowing that more global idea of loving for the sake of the gift, loving for the sake of love. And somewhere in that partner of yours is a child of God, and you loved them at one point, okay, even if they're being really heinous in the moment, you loved them. So that idea of divine love actually energetically reconnects you to that place. And then there just isn't expectation with divine love. There's just an idea of, you know what, I'm just going to love for the sake of loving. I'm going to let God work through me. And it's pretty magical. So that's another way of creating and maintaining personal integrity and personal boundaries. Boundaries are automatic when you are in your core, when you're walking in the world from your core truth, and when you are in intimate relationship with God. They're literally automatic. And then you're guided to say the things you need to say to establish the clarity for people around you. You will absolutely be guided and have more than enough courage and ability to say no when something doesn't work for you. And you will also have more than enough courage and ability to take action if necessary to remove yourself from unhealthy situations. So there's your answer to boundaries, y'all. Hope that gave you some good stuff to think about today. Next week, we are doing an archived show next week. We got a move going on. Studio's moving. So moving locations. So we're going to be archiving a show next week. Following week, Jan Van Eiselstein is going to be back in the studio on the 28th with me doing the astrological thing. And then the following week, April 4th, we're doing a psychic free-for-all. It's been a little while, so I want to plug in for you. If you feel that you've benefited from listening to today's show, or any of the shows, and you'd like to help me continue to help others, I have made it very easy. You can go to the radio show page at michellemorgan.org, click the donate button, and it'll take you straight to PayPal. It's an easy, safe way to contribute. Any amount is totally appreciated. It helps me pay for the airtime and keep this show going. And I really want to thank everyone for their very generous support so far. It's been really, really cool. If you did like today's show, you can email it to people you know who might like it too. The show will be up in the archives in the next day or so. Again, radio show page at michellemorgan.org. And then you can click the little email button and do that. If you love the music, please, of course you do, go to iTunes, download the songs. I will have those listed on my Facebook fan page. How do you find me on Facebook? You go to michellemorgan.org, click on the Facebook icon in the links box on the right side of any page. It'll take you in and you can get signed up. So be sure
to tune in next week and see whatever show Barb's playing. I have no idea what she's going to pull out of the hat. And then the following week, we'll be back in the studio live doing astrological stuff, 12 noon Pacific on contacttalkradio.com or 106.9 HD3 in Seattle. This is Michelle Morgan. You've been listening to Living on a Prayer. Hope you all have a great couple of weeks. Take care, everybody.
You've been listening to Living on a Prayer with your host, Michelle Morgan. Join Michelle next Monday at high noon for another hour of attitude, angels, and answers. And in the meantime, visit Michelle on the web at www.michellemorgan.org. That's Michelle with one L, Morgan.org.